Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 142. Psalm 142, we'll read all seven verses, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for your presence being here. Father, thank you that it can be said of our city, there is a man of God in that city. Father, thank you for our preacher. He spent time with you this week and his whole life. Father, may he be able to give us what you've given him from on high. May we be good receivers of it. May we listen, change our hearts, change our lives, so we could go out and help more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Earlier, we read together the entire chapter of Psalm 142. If you still have your Bible open, if you would notice, there is in many Bibles a what we might call a subtitle. And that subtitle talks about David, a prayer when he was in a cave. When I look at Psalm 142 in my Bible, it has Psalm 142, and then it makes the statement of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. The sermon today is about this and from this psalm that took place in a cave. Just a second. David prays this prayer. This psalm was penned, or this psalm was prayed in a cave. David was a man. Now, today, they have what they call the men's little hideout called a man cave. A man cave's all about comfort, big comfy chairs and plush carpeting, if you will, and a place to watch football and eat and be comforted. David and David's cave was not like that. Oh, this was a man cave. And there's a difference in the kind of men that we have today and the kind of men that we had back then anyway. David's man cave brought him forth so he could run a country, not run from responsibility in the country. Because men today run from responsibility, where men back then ran to responsibility. But this psalm takes place in a cave. David is praying it in a cave. It's either the cave of Adullam or the cave of En Gedi. I'm not sure which one. You know, sometimes, folks, the situations of our life almost are situations that we might consider situations that find us mentally in a cave. You ever have something come upon you and feel like somehow you find yourself in a cave? It's, you know, caves are dark and caves are cold and hollow and lonely and fearful. And maybe right now in your life you say, preacher, I feel like I'm in a cave. It's dark in my life and it's cold and it's hollow and lonely and there is fear. Now, David experienced that. In this psalm, David is in a cave. And that cave pictured a time of darkness and coldness and a hollow loneliness and a place where there were fears. I don't know. Are you in a cave today? What is your cave today? Is your cave a financial setback? Is your cave a sin? Maybe yours, maybe somebody else's. And you feel like you're in a cave of coldness and darkness. Is it your health? Is it some loss that you have suffered? Do you find yourself feeling like you're in a cave today? Did you know most people pray better in the cave? Daniel prayed better in the cave of the lion's den. Jonah prayed better in the cave of the whale's belly. Noah prayed better when in the cave of a flood. The apostle Paul prayed better when he and Silas were in the cave of a Philippian jail. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they prayed better in the cave of a burning fiery furnace. Hey, the caves have heard the greatest and the strongest prayers in life. Sometimes birds sing a little better in a cage. Sometimes God's people shine the brightest in the darkest moment of their life. Some pray best when they're sick, not when they're well. God uses the caves of life's boot camp to develop mighty Christian soldiers. When God wants to help a Christian become great, He often sends them to the cave. Let me say it again. When God wants to help a Christian become great, He often sends that Christian to the cave. Hey, Christian. Have you been sent to the cave? Is God trying to develop greatness in your life? You say, Brother Owens, I'd rather achieve greatness by playing in the sunshine. I'm sorry. Playing in the sunshine does not develop greatness. It is in the cave. Is it possible that God has looked down at your life, whether you be a man or a woman, whether you be old or young? Is it possible God looked down at your life and said, I foresee greatness as your potential, and I am going to prepare you for that greatness? And He said, oh, good, it's going to be fun. No, oh, it's going to be to the cave. Go to the cave, says God. Have you been sent to the cave? I think of the Old Testament story of a man named Jacob. The Bible teaches that God sent an angel, and an angel wrestled with Jacob all night long. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 32. And this was a night. It was like a cave. It was dark. It was cold. It was a rough night. Here is an angel from heaven and wrestling. And that, I believe that was God come in an angel, or maybe Jesus Christ come in an angel. But an angel is wrestling with this fella named Jacob. And after this time in this cave of wrestling, Jacob comes forth and God gives him a new name. The name is Israel. Now that the name Israel means prince. God had to wrestle the strength out of him in a cave of challenge. Then and only then did Jacob become a prince. You can't become a prince for God until you've been to the cave that'll wear you out. There's a price to pay if you want to be used of God. There's a price to pay. I believe that David prayed in this cave, possibly the cave of En-Gedi. And only after going through the cave did David come forth to become a king. You become a prince by way of the cave. You become a king by way of the cave. You become a great, consistent victor, not in the sunshine, but in the darkest hours of life. God determines what you're made of and what you'll do for Him. I call my sermon this morning, Cave Training. See, God must make you nothing before He can make you something. God must make you nothing before He can make you something. He must make you hungry before He satisfies. You have to be broken down before he'll build you up. I call the sermon Cave Greatness Training. Cave Greatness Training. I will use the very natural outline that is found here in Psalm 142. We'll use each verse as a point in the sermon today. Let me say to you, first of all, cave greatness training includes prayer. Cave greatness training includes prayer. In Psalm 142, verse number 1, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. What's happening here? David is in that cave of possibly the cave of En-Gedi. He's in that cave, and here he is crying out to God. Now remember, he went into the cave, and there's all sorts of things that took place in that cave. When he came out of the cave, he launches and goes on to be a king. You are not going to reach greatness unless you go through the caves of life successfully. You say, well, where should it all start? If I'm going to succeed in the darkness of life and I'm going to succeed in the burden of life. Hey, where do I start, preacher? Let me tell you, you ought to start with prayer. See, usually we try everything else and then turn to God at last. How about we start turning to God at the first? How about the first thing we do about the burdens of life is pray? To be made great, you must learn to pray. See, if we prayed more in the sunshine of life, we would not need to go to the cave. But we usually don't pray in the sunshine, we play. Let me tell you all something. You don't pray when everything's going okay. When do you pray? That's it. You see, when everything's fine, you have everything you need, somehow you don't need God. We need Him in the sunshine and the night. And you, whether you realize it or not, God may be doing you a favor by sending you into the cave, because in the cave you realize you need God. But we don't pray in the sunshine, we pray in the cave. If you want God to greatly bless you, then He would want you to greatly pray. Cave prayers, and you let me do the preaching. Cave prayers are the most powerful prayers. Cave prayers are the most powerful prayers. You show me the most powerful prayer warriors you know, I'll show you somebody that's been in a cave. I'll guarantee it. I can point to ladies in this congregation that I believe get their prayers answered, but they didn't get it from being in the sunshine. They got it from being in the dark. They got it from the cave of heartache and loss. I can show you men. I can show you a man today that I believe. He's a man that I would run to in our congregation that gets his prayers answered. But I'll tell you, he did not get that power in prayer because of a fruity-tooty, fun lifestyle. He got it because that man's been to the cave in life. He knows how to pray. If the person that you love the most was in a tragic accident, they lay a dying, could you confidently pray that God would spare their life? Now, I debated back and forth whether I'd tell this story or not. Spoke to my wife about it. I'm going to tell you a story. Earlier this week, it was about 11:30 at night. I heard my wife get out of bed. A couple minutes later, I heard her hit the ground. When I got to her, her eyes were rolled back in her head. She had knocked herself out. There was blood coming out of her mouth and out of her nose, and she had gone into seizures. I had no idea what was happening. None. I picked her up and I held her close to me, and her body was just, she was in seizures, and I did not understand. We had never had anything like this before. I didn't know what to do. And all I knew to do was pray. I held her close and I said, oh God, I don't know what's happening. You've got to spare my wife. My children have not even heard the whole story. I was scared to death. I thought she was going to die. And I held her close to my body as she was just doing this. And I said, God, please spare her. I said, take my truck. Leave the wife. Then later on, I said, well, let's leave the truck too. I finally was able to leave her long enough to call 911. And I'm not a 911 kind of a guy. I called 911. They said, you need to stay on the phone. I went back to her. She was bleeding from the mouth. She was bleeding from her nose. Oh, you could, you know, she had a cut on her face. I got to tell you the story. I don't want you to think she's been, if you look at her today, I don't want you to think she's been earning her living part-time in Ultimate Fighting or something. All beat up, bruised up. The lady, 911, she said, you got to keep her from swallowing her tongue. How much blood is she losing? But I prayed and I said, God, please. In a matter of just a little while, her body calmed. They came and got her in an ambulance. We rushed her to the hospital. And I thank God. The first thing I did was pray. It was the first thing I did. I grabbed her body and I wrapped my arms. And I said, God, please, if you ever answer a prayer for me, answer this one. And he did. And he did. And he answered it. I thank God for that. I'm not trying to be spooky. I wouldn't have even told you the story. We didn't tell anybody. We just covered it up all week long. And she'd been in the hospital and it's been a rough week. She didn't have any blood left inside her. They took it all for tests. She doesn't have sickle cell anemia or anything like that. But listen, you better learn how to pray. There's some of you, the reason you're such a mess right now in your life is you went into a cave, but you went in there and you went in and all you do is you're throwing a fit and throwing things around and you're pulling away from God instead of pulling up close to God. When you go in the cave, if you're in a cave, that's to get you closer to God, not to get you away from God. What are you doing retracting from God in the cave? You get to God in the caves of life, not run from God. David said this, Psalm 142, verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. David entered a cave, and the first thing David did, he prayed. He prayed. Let me say secondly, cave greatness training includes being transparent with God. Being transparent with God. Let me read verse number 2 to you. It says in Psalm 142, verse 2, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. It says here, I poured out. What's that mean? David said, I got in this cave, and in this cave, I just spilled my guts to God. Here's your problem. You spill your guts on the internet, and you spill your guts in your texting, and you spill your guts in your blogging, and you spill your guts in your tweeting. What you ought to be doing is spilling your guts to God. David went in the cave and he said, I don't know what to do other than pray, and I'm going to pray. And he began to pray. And he said, then I began to pour out myself before God. He held back nothing. I believe that when David was finished pouring himself out to God, I believe that when David was finished, that David was probably, he probably felt empty. I believe that David began to pour himself out to God in the cave. That's what he said. I poured out my complaint. He said, I showed before him my troubles. David said, I was in the cave. I went to prayer immediately and I held back nothing. I just poured myself out to God. I didn't pour myself out in criticisms. I poured myself out to God. That's what some of you are missing. He said, I showed before him. I let him see me. No more spiritual cat and mouse games with God. I wanted God to see all the way through me, and I was going to pour everything out to God. See, this transparency that I'm speaking of, this cave greatness training includes a transparency with God. And David ends up in that cave, and now we see David said, I'm in a cave. What am I going to do? He said, I'm going to begin to pour myself out to God. I've got to get to God. I've got to make sure that I withhold nothing from God. Why? He needed something from God. That transparency is going to include the confessing of sin. Tell y'all something, in the cave, you better make sure that you're transparent with God. You may hide your sins from me, but you're not going to hide them from God. You may hide your sins from your husband or your wife or the congregation, but not from God. When you go into the cave, I recommend you get right to God and you learn how to pray, and you better spill your guts about what you are. Not just what you've done. You're a filthy, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner, whether you like it or not. You better get in that cave and, hey, look, sometimes you go in a cave and you fear praying a little bit because you know there's something between you and the Savior. You go in the cave, you start praying, and you're pretty quickly going to examine yourself and say, you know what? I better clean some things up between me and God. I would like Him to answer my prayer, and there's some things going on in my heart and in my life that ought not be there, and I'm going to pour out my guts to Him and get this right. There's somebody in here, you're in the cave, and rather than pouring yourself out to people, you got to pour yourself out to God, and somebody needs to get right with God. In the cave. This transparency, he said, I poured myself out. I showed myself before Him. That transparency includes the confessing of sin. I think that transparency will include your deepest, darkest secrets, and you turn it all over to Him. Said, I showed before Him my trouble. That's an honesty with God, not the fabricated excuses and fronts that you give to people, but the real problem. Yes. Now see, God already sees you. He wants you to want Him to see you though. Hear that? God already sees you. He just wants you to want Him to see you. God already seen David. But David began to pour himself out, and God said, I've been waiting for you to fess up. You're not going to tell God anything God doesn't already know, but God would like to know that you want Him to know where you're at and what you're up to. You facing God. Now, people in this building, you need to face God and knock it off and stop living the way you're living. Hey, God may put you in a cave where you need a prayer answered. You better hope to God you're at the top of your spiritual game when it comes. No holds barred in regard to revealing yourself to God. Quit making up excuses. Quit blaming everybody else. Look, if you're not right with God, it's your fault, just so you know. If you want to be right with God, you can be right with God. And you don't have to blame your husband or blame your wife or blame your uncle or blame your aunt. Hey, if you want to be right with God, you can be right with God. Now, this guy in the congregation, this woman in the congregation, look, let them be right or wrong with God of their choosing. But if you want to be right with God, you certainly can. You see, in verse number 1, we see that this training that you get in the cave includes prayer. In verse number 2, we see this training that you get in the cave. It includes a transparency where you come clean with God. You quit playing piddly little cat and mouse games with God. You pour yourself out and you get yourself right. And you clear the air between you and God. There are people in this building, you need to clear the air between you and God. There's some things going on in your attitude. There are things going on in your life. You need to clear the air and get, hey, nothing between my soul and the Savior. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. No holds barred. I'm giving you everything. I'm spilling my guts, God. I want this thing to be right. Cave training will do that to you. Thirdly, cave greatness training includes trusting God. Psalm 142, verse number 3 says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. And the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. David here is in that cave. And it required him to trust God. Cave training requires us to trust God, even in the darkest events of life. Notice that David said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Overwhelmed. I'm so glad to hear that David found himself overwhelmed. I'm glad I'm not the only one that finds myself overwhelmed in the cave. Are you in the cave? You say, right now, Brother Owens, I'm in the cave and I'm overwhelmed. Well, good. David has already gone through this for us, and he's showing us what to do when we're facing an overwhelmed feeling in a cave of life. David was overwhelmed. It was a part of the training. If you're never at your wit's end, then you're not being prepared for greatness. You hear that? If you're never at your wit's end, you're not being prepared for greatness. Greatness training stretches you. Greatness training pushes you past where you want to go. Greatness requires you to require more from yourself. Overwhelmed means you're being expanded. Means your potential is being further developed. Greatness training takes you past your own self-reliance to where you need Him. Hey, listen, if you won't trust God now, why would He trust you to do something great later? Greatness training will take you past your character's ability. Let me tell all of you something. There's an element in this church, just like in America, there's an element in America that is just characterless today. Characterless. They've got more I can'ts than they have I can'ts. They want to get more for less. And so I say to you now, greatness training will require something of you. It's going to take you past your character's ability. Hey, but I want to warn some of you. We've got some people in this church that are people of great character. You have been around character in your life. You've been trained to have character in your life. You desire to have character in your life. But let me tell you something. There will come a day when you will face something that is beyond you. And so, you know, the more character you have, maybe the deeper your cave will need to be so your weaknesses can be revealed. Greatness training will take you past your character. Greatness training will take you past your intelligence. Now, we have some people in here that have very high IQs. We have people in here that are very well educated. Well, let me tell you something. There'll be a day when God is going to put you in a cave. I don't care how bright you think you are and how smart you think you are. God will put you in a situation where your strength of intelligence and your education will not be enough. See, this David was in the cave. You say, what are we pushing toward here? We're pushing toward the fact that no matter how smart you are, no matter how much character you have, no matter how much money you have, you need to come to the point when you realize you need God no matter how much you have, how much you've done, where you've been. You need God. David went into a cave and he said, the only thing I know to do is pray. And now I realize I better get things cleaned up between me and God, and I want to be transparent. God, I need you. And then David realized, no matter how great David was, David needed to make sure that David trusted God more than his money, and David trusted God more than his personal strength, and David trusted God more than his character. That's where David was in the cave. God may have put you in the cave because you have these strengths that outside the cave keep you going. And what you need is to go in the cave so you realize it is God that will keep you going. Greatness training will take you past your money's ability to solve your problems. Greatness training includes trusting His greatness, not yours. And I think there are times when we go into a cave of life and God is putting us in the cave because the only way to make it out of the cave in one piece is that you don't depend on you, but you depend on Him. Which means God may exceed you so that you must trust Him. Where some of you are failing, say, it's come upon me and I can't take it. Then turn to God. He'll help you to take it. And the greatness training that goes on in this cave, it included prayer. It included a transparency with God. It included the need to trust God, where He said, I am overwhelmed. This is beyond me. And when you're overwhelmed, you need God. Did you know you needed Him before you realized you needed Him? And number four, In verse number 4, it says, I looked upon my right hand, and behold, there was no man. There was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Let me tell you something. In the cave, the greatness, the training that you'll get in the cave is going to include learning to stand alone. Learning to stand alone. He said, I looked on my right hand, beheld there was no man. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Folks, we need to learn to stand for God when nobody else does. David said, I was in that cave. I looked around. There wasn't anybody there to help me. Can I tell you something? I'm glad that you have maybe a spiritual mentor, and I'm glad that you have a pastor, and I'm glad that you have a Sunday school teacher, and I'm glad that you have a lot of human relationships. But I have to tell you something, folks. Someday you're going to be in the cave and there's not going to be anybody there to help you. You better get close to God for yourself. Those of you that are spiritually welfare minded, everybody carry me, baby me, pat me on the head, rub my belly. Some of you need to grow up. It's time for you to become a spiritual senior and get out of the freshman class. You can be close to God. You can fight the battles of life and win them. You can do the right thing. And we can't go with you everywhere and do everything for you. Hey, listen. When David here, he realizes, I'm alone. I'm in this cave by myself. I've got to do this. Just me and God. We must learn to stand when nobody else does. We must learn to stand where nobody else does. Listen, folks, let's take even leadership. God sends people in the cave to develop their leadership. If you want others to help you, you're going to make a decent follower. But if you want to help others, you're going to have to go to the cave and learn to stand alone. You know what we need to learn? We need to learn God is enough. God is enough. If you're in a cave right now and you say, preacher, I'm in a cave and nobody understands. No, you're wrong. God does. See, I just wish I could get my point across to somebody. God understands. Well, who can I go to? God, you feel shortchanged with that? You think man is going to be more adequate than God? Oh, no. And I believe this, I believe David in the cave found himself all alone. Hey, you need to learn that God is enough. And I am so glad we have such a support group around here. I mean, we are just surrounded by people that love and the people that will help and people that will help carry the burden. But I'll tell you something, if there's nobody there, God's still there. And if you say, I feel so all alone in the cave, okay, you're not alone. God is there. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if God is trying to develop you, and if God is trying to stretch you, and if God is trying to make you into a greater leader, you're going to have to go to the cave. You're going to have to learn to pray. You're going to have to learn to be transparent with God. You're going to have to learn to trust God. You're going to have to learn to stand alone. And when nobody else will stand, you stand all alone by yourself. Hey, can you stand alone with your family? Let me tell y'all something. As a pastor, let me teach you something. You have a lot of families in your church. That's a wonderful thing, especially, you know, they're all connected. But I'll tell you this, you let one of those families get out of kelter with the Lord as a pastor, you begin to panic because you see the chain reaction that could come. One gets contrary, and then the whole batch say, oh, all eight of us, we're leaving God, we're leaving the church. Well, that's something surely you can see the concern. From my perspective, I see it all the time. I watch one get backslidden, and I watch the chain reaction of a whole family getting bad attitudes. Because they're sitting around the table talking bad about everybody, doing their thing. It's a chain reaction. You know what you need to learn to do? You need to live for God and stand for God all by your itty-bitty self. Can you stand alone at work? Hey, can you stand alone in your public school? I'm devastated. Think of the occurrence in Chardon, Ohio at the Chardon High School. Gunman pulls out that public school a gun and starts blowing people away. How sad. How sad. I don't remember. At least four I know that were shot, three of which have now died. Let me tell you something. You're going to go to public school. You better learn how to stand for God. You say, well, you're not allowed to stand for God in a public school. You're not? Who told you you're not? You can stand for God anywhere. You're going to go to the public school. You better stand up for God. You better live right and do right. You say it's hard. Okay, then do what's hard. Let me say, I see here in this cave that David finds himself in. I see that David had to learn to pray in the cave, and David had to be transparent with God in the cave. And I see that David had to learn to trust God in the cave. And I see that David had to learn to stand alone in the cave. I see that in this cave, this training that David was put through all alone in the cave, I think it included that David learned to delight in God. It says in Psalm 142, verse 5, the fifth verse, it says, "And I cried unto thee, O Lord, and said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." My portion, he said. Do you delight in God? Look, folks, you may lose your job, but as long as you have God, is that enough for you? He said, "You're my portion." David said, right now in the cave, God, you're enough. You may lose your house, but as long as you have God, are you okay? He's your portion. You may lose your health, but as long as you have God, are you okay? You may lose your crowd, but as long as you have God, you ought to be okay. You say, he was saying, God, you are the most important thing to me. And if I lose everything, as long as I get to keep you, I'll be okay. You're my portion. You take my fame. I want you, God. You take my house. Oh, okay, God, but I want you. You take my car. Okay, God, but I want you. God, my health is gone, but God, I want you. Why? I was not made happy by my house, by my car, by my money, by my health, but God, I am delighted in you. It's you that I want. That's what a cave will do to you. I promise you that. You go in a cave and come out right. You come out saying, doesn't matter to me about my car, doesn't matter to me about my house, it doesn't matter to me about my job. I wanted to come out of this thing being right with God. I want to come out of this thing with a clear relationship with God. Your greatness training in the cave will increase your desire for Him. If you're going through the cave right, you're not getting a greater desire for things, you're getting a greater desire for Him. God can't use you much until you make much of Him. And so, David's in a cave. What's he do? Right away, he goes to prayer. What happens? He said, I need to clear up the communication barrier. I've got to become transparent with God. I've got to spill my guts and get things straightened out. I've got to trust Him. I am overwhelmed and I am beyond myself, so I have to trust Him to bring me through this. Then I will stand alone. I'm going to do what's right, whether everybody understands it or not. Then David finds himself saying, you know what? The result of this whole thing, it's not all about the things of life. It becomes all about God. I am delighted in God. That's what I want. I want God. Verse number 6, he says, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. In the cave, part of your training will include, I think, some compassion that will be developed in you. David said, I am brought very low. Now, I don't think David is just brought low because of David. I think David is brought low for the sake of others. Did you know that if you want to do something great for God, you're going to have to learn to have sympathy and compassion and tenderness? Did you know most leaders' burdens are not sent to them for them, but they're sent to them for the welfare of others? Let me say it again. Most leaders' burdens are not sent to them for them. They're sent to them for the sake of others. You say, prove it. How about Jesus? Why did he go through what he went through? For himself? He went through it for somebody else. Our hard times are supposed to tenderize us toward others. When you go in the cave, while you're in the cave, let me tell you something. God's going to squeeze your heart. For some of you, you're hard, you're cold. God may put you in a cave to break your heart. Why? So when you come out, you can weep over somebody else's heartache, not just your own. People with smooth lives are not usually good comforters. Burdens mature our love and our compassion. People who have wept in the cave better weep with others that are in the cave. So may I say, there's some of you, if you go through the cave right and God breaks your heart in the cave, you'll come out and you'll go look for somebody that's in the cave and say, I'm starting me a cave ministry. Perfect example. My dear friend, Brother Jim Dula, sits right back here. Brother Dula, many last 2-3 years, just his health has been terrible. I mean, he suffered it with this and that, and part of it because he gave a major part of his life in the Vietnam War as a hero for our country and fighting for freedom. And I couldn't even tell you all the things that Brother Dula had gone through with his health. He came to me virtually in a cave. He came and he said, Preacher, I just get kicked from every side. My health, actually, he did get kicked by a horse. Of course, probably deserved it. That's what you get for eating the horse's food. They'll kick you every time out there in the barn. But Brother Dula and I were talking one day and he told me this. He said, Preacher, he said, when my health comes back enough, I'm going to promise you something. I'm going to go out and I'm going to start visiting and spending time with those that are going through the hardships of life. And he has done that exact thing. What happened? In the cave, God tenderizes the heart, and you come out. And if you come out of the cave the right way, you're more tender toward people. You have a desire to help people. People who have wept in the cave better weep with others. Those of you that are in the cave today, let me tell you something. You might not even be in the cave because you might feel like, am I in the cave because God's disciplining me? Maybe, maybe not. But maybe you're in the cave because God is preparing to use you. Your cave may be God preparing you to help your own child in the future someday. Could God allow you to go in the cave so you can get cave training so that someday when your child is in the cave, you know how to get them through it? Some of you won't know how. See, you went in the cave and you left God, and you went in the cave and you quit your Sunday school class, and you went in the cave and you quit your bus route, and you went in the cave and you stopped tithing, and you went in the cave and you got mad at the preacher, and you went in the cave and you quit church, and you went in the cave and stopped reading your Bible, and you went in the cave and stopped soul winning. So you're not really getting your cave training very well. And one of these days, your child is going to be in desperate need for somebody that can stand up and say, I know how to get us through this. I'll help you stay in the will of God while you go through the burden of life. But you won't be able to do it because your story is when you went in the cave, you stayed there. Maybe you're in the cave because God wanted you to learn how to help somebody. You're even stingy about your burdens, aren't you? Your burdens are all about you. Maybe they were in preparation for you to help someone else. Cave greatness training includes prayer. Cave greatness training includes transparency, where we pour ourselves out to God. Cave greatness training includes then a trusting of God. Cave greatness training includes learning to stand alone. Cave greatness training includes that suddenly there's a delight and God seems to become what we needed all along. And cave greatness training prepares us to have compassion, and our burdens are not just all about us, but it's about somebody else. And I hesitate to say it, but I want to say it. We were having our annual Valentine banquet. And our adult Valentine banquet this year, we wanted to do a little something for the Carmen Davis family. This is Carmen Davis's husband, Stephen, passed and in early part of life went to heaven. And part of what we did, that meant that she found herself at a very young age carrying a title, widow. So I went to all the widows that had been around our church for many, many years. I said, hey, how about at the Valentine banquet, all of you come forward at the banquet and give Carmen a rose. And give her a hug and just encourage her. And I heard Mrs. Bajent say, Preacher, I'm not real excited about coming to the Valentine banquet, but I will be there for Carmen because I understand. There's somebody that went in the cave, came out of the cave to go do what she was trained to do after having been in the cave. You understand? Somebody said, I hurt, but I'll step aside my hurt. I'm going to go find somebody else that's hurting and I'll help them. And folks, you're going to find yourself depressed in life and backslidden if all your burdens are all about you. And I love you and I will help you bear your burdens, but I am helping you bear your burden right now. Let your burden make you more capable of helping other people with their burdens. Maybe your burden is not all about you. Maybe it is all about somebody else. Let me say finally, in the cave, in verse number 7, he said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. David was to the point where he felt like he was in a prison. He said, I went into this cave. It was cold. It was dark. It was lonely. Oh, we see the process that he went through. We've watched verse by verse. He said, I'm going to get out of this cave. And notice what he said about it. He said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. He said, it doesn't matter to me what I've been through. I'm still going to praise God. I love it. Cave greatness will train you to praise God. One of the greatest signs that you have passed the cave greatness training is that you come out of the cave praising God. Paul and Silas were in jail praising God. Praise God when they got out. You see, you don't come out of the cave bitter. You come out of the cave better. I'm shocked at some of you men that think you're real he-men. You don't impress me at all when you're a real he-man. And then you go into a cave and you come out bitter. I could take a punch. No, you can't. You're like a wrestler that's all covered up, laying on the floor, saying, can't take anymore, can't take anymore. Yes, you can. Get up and get right with God. Come out of there saying, I still love God. Praise God. The Bible's still true. I've still got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I'm not impressed with men that cover up and let the devil and life beat the snot out of them because they went into a cave. God didn't let you go into that cave to destroy you. He put you in that cave to make you. Now you come out of that cave praising God and right with God. Get back out there and start winning souls. Get back out there and do something for God. Did you know something? Did you know that if you'll come out of the cave right, you're going to be better, not bitter. You're going to do more, not less. David come out of the cave, went on to a kingdom. Jacob come out of the wrestling with that angel through the night. He came out and went on to be a prince. What a waste. What a waste to go through heartache, burden, and take a hit in life, then turn around and not let anything good come of it. Wasn't to blast you, it was building supplies to build you. Let it build you. Let me tell you all something. Everybody here, every dad here, listen to me. Every mother here, listen to me. Every one of you guys that consider yourself a leader, whether it's a bus captain, a Sunday school teacher, assistant pastor. People don't want to follow depressed leadership. They don't want to follow depressed leadership. So what are they looking for? A leader that goes in the cave and comes out the other end still praising God and on top side. People don't want to listen to a sad singer. We can only listen to someone singing with tears in their eyes so many times. You know, God can give you a song in the night. Cave-trained people learn how to praise God in the dark. Cave-trained people learn how to praise God in the cold. Cave-trained people learn to praise God when they're lonely and praise God when they're fearful. I love, some of you would know this name, many of you won't. A man from the last generation, his name's Lester Roloff. Brother Roloff was a great man of faith down in Corpus Christi, Texas. Built homes for wayward young people that rebelled, and they would go there and Brother Roloff would help them get them saved and get them baptized and get them in the Bible and get them back on track. And the state began to attack him. They wanted to close his homes down. He was changing lives and he was taking money out of the state's kitty, because when they would be pulled out of the public school and everything, be put into his home, they were losing all sorts of money and they didn't like him and they were having a hard time with him. Oh, they would attack him over and over and over again. One of his favorite sayings was this: no matter what he's going through, he'd say, ah, praise God anyhow. Some of you need to praise God anyhow. Just praise God anyhow. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Let me tell you, David said, I feel like I've been in jail. He said, bring my soul out of prison. Why do you want to get out of prison? So you can go beat that guy up. Why do you want to get out of prison? So you can go get revenge. Why do you want to get out of prison, David? So you can go be mean to somebody. Why do you want to get out of prison? He said, I want to get out of prison so I can go tell everybody, my God, help me through. I'm okay. I can still praise God. I'm still happy. I still want to serve God. He said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise His name. Now somebody here needs to come out of prison praising God on top of the world for the cause of Jesus Christ. But people don't want to follow a depressed leader. People don't want to follow a sad singer. It's not what we're looking for. You say, preacher, I feel like I'm in a cave. And let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to go to Psalm 142 and obey it. Pray. And pray right. Pour your guts out to God and get everything right with Him. Trust Him. Learn to stand alone. No matter what your family and everybody else does, you stay close to God. Make it so that He is your portion. He becomes more important than anything else. You delight in Him. You go from there to letting what your time in the cave train you so you're helping others as a result of it. And then just start praising God. And you'll come out of the cave just fine. Say, how do you know? I've been in a cave. You been in my church very long? You ever seen your pastor have to go through a cave experience? I've been through the caves. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His goodness. Thank God for His grace. But I'm not talking to you about something I heard about. I've been in the cave. I've been where my heart is broken. I've been where I didn't know if I could go on. Praise God. He can get you through the cave. You can do it. We can do this. And it's not because of us. It's because of Him. You say, I feel like nobody understands. He does. And maybe you're in the cave of loneliness because He wants you to know Him. When I watched my wife's body in seizure, her face covered with blood, and I laid down over her and I said, God, if you have ever answered a prayer, answer this one. It may have only, I don't know how long I was on the phone with 911. I don't know all of that. I don't know how long it took, but I watched God calm her body and take us from a tragic, terrible situation to a point where the doctor said, it's going to be fine. I was in a cave. It's terrible. They were loading her in the ambulance, and I finally broke down. I started crying. She did not know what we had been through for about 30 minutes of our life because she was out. She reached up, and she said, baby, you don't need to cry. It's going to be okay. She had to comfort me. Why? I'd just been through a really tough experience in the cave. But I'm not in the cave. I come out. And God saw me through. And the very same God that's seen me through will see you through. The same God that's seen Jacob through will see you through. And the same God that's seen Noah through will see you through. But you're going to have to follow God's cave training instructions. And if you will do that, you can make it through whatever you're facing. I call the sermon Cave Greatness Training. Some of you, we're getting ready to start our old PAS conference. Some of you, we're getting ready to have our spring program. Get ready. The devil attacks the most right before something big is about to happen. Always. You prepare yourself. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want to welcome you to the Savior. Best thing I ever did in my life was trust Jesus as Savior. If you're not saved, you ought to get born again today. You won't make it through the cave by yourself as a lost person. You make it through the cave as a saved person, because Jesus is in the cave with you. Some of you are facing the cave by yourself because you're unsaved. You get saved, you're going to be shocked at what can happen in the cave. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. My first question is this. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? You say, I do not know I'm saved. I do not know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I see that hand. You say, I'm not saved. God bless you. I see that hand. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Anyone? Anyone else? In a moment, we'll have a thing called an altar call. When we start it, you leave your seat. You walk toward the front. You come down front and just say to the men, I want to be saved. The men that are sitting on this platform will step off this platform and post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, I see that hand. God bless you. If you're not saved in the balcony or the lower floor, when we start this thing called the altar call, you immediately leave your seat. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. You leave your seat in a moment. You walk up toward the front. You walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be born again. Men, get to your positions quickly because I think they'll come quickly. So winners, you be ready to help us. Let's help somebody that's in the cave alone to get the Savior in there so they can make it through this. Who here would say, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm going through a cave experience. And today I believe God has spoken to my heart. I think I know what I need to do. Would you raise your hand? There are hands all over the place. I'm going through a cave experience, but I think I know what to do. You helped me. I've learned something from the scripture today. You may put those hands down. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to